I thank you this morning. I thank you. I come before you with a joyful heart. Lord, I thank you. I shout out praises to you. Lord, I thank you for all you're doing. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for all you're doing in my life. Lord, I thank you. And I know that you are God. I know you made heaven and earth. I know you made me, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you. I am the sheep of your pastor. I'm entering with thanksgiving. I'm entering with praise. I'm entering with glorifying your name because you're worthy, Jesus. I thank you because you're good and you're merciful. And I seal this prayer with saying amen. I thank you for touching all our listeners this morning. I'm asking you to heal. I'm asking you to deliver. And I'm asking you to set the captive free in the name of Jesus. I love you, and Jesus does too. Till we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ShalondaNobles. That's $ShalondaNobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now for this free spirit. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, how your hand is moving upon us. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to birth in us. We thank you for what you're interjecting to us, Lord. The seed of the word that may grow, and all the fowls of the air will lodge therein. Father, we thank you right now for this church. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you, Lord God, for those who are in attendance today. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you would bless each and every heart and every mind, every soul, every spirit. Bless them indeed, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you now.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cures us, that cleanses us, and that connects us and covers us. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the Holy Spirit of God who gives to us what belongs to you and guides us through this life. We thank you for the Word of God that sustains us and strengthens us. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your everlasting presence. We thank you, Lord, for sealing us with the precious Holy Ghost. We give you glory now, Lord. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we know that you can do anything but fail, lie, and die. We thank you now. And Father God, we know after we've given you the glory for doing all that you're going to do, after you've healed and delivered and set free, and after you've blessed us, that we can rejoice in your blessing. Father God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy.
You're holy.
You're holy, God, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want to use for a thought on tonight how to get restored. How to get restored. The grass wither and the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. God said that if you just trust in him, he'll do those things for you. Oh, yeah. He said that if the locusts come and devour the land. Now, he says that if I send pestilence among my people. So we look at the pestilent conditions that God may send upon his people. And you know what? I like this because it lets me know that even though it may be some bad things going on, that God is still sovereign and God is still in control. It reminds me of how Elijah, the prophet, how how he went, and the Bible said that he was there by a brook, and he had the ravens to feed him, and he drank from the brook until the brook dried up. And then God said, don't worry about that. I got somewhere else for you to be. I got somebody else that I'm going to give to sustain you. But you got to understand, he prayed that it wouldn't rain. So he didn't just say, well, Lord, I pray that it happen over here as long as it don't happen at my house. No, he knew that he was going to be affected by what was going to happen, but he knew God would make a way. Where are the people that knows that it's going to be some effects that I'm going to feel, but I know that God will make a way? Anybody here ever said that I know that the Lord will make a way somehow? He said that if I send pestilence among my people, if I send some bad things to happen in the land where my people reside, he said, I got something I need you to understand. He said, if I send pestilence, he said, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, first thing I want you to see is that there is a personal connection. He said, if my people, God says my people. And so therefore, that means that word my means ownership. That means you belong to him. He says that we are his people. And the sheep of his pasture. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. We got to understand that we belong to him because we've been purchased by the blood. Amen. We got to understand that we belong not to ourselves, but we belong to God because he is the maker and creator of all mankind. He said, which are called by my name. And so when he talks about being called by his name, let's look at what that means. That means that we're called by his name, and that means that if we wear the name, then the name will protect us. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He said that his name is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe. Preach anyway. He said that at that name, he said, demons fear and tremble. He said, if these signs shall follow them that believe that in my name, you shall cast out devils, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You shall speak in new tongues. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. He said this about his name. And so if I'm called by his name, there are some things that ought to be concurrent with me if I'm called by his name. He said that he'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I wish I had somebody here that understood the name. He gave us a name that is above every name. He said, at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. And because of that name, I'm free. Because of that name, I have salvation. Because of that name, I have eternal life. He said, if you believe on my name, you can have eternal life. I wish I had somebody. And so he said, my people, which are called by my name. He said, look, I want to show you, it's a personal connection. We got to have a personal connection with God. We got to be able to say, I'm connected to him by his name. The reason why my wife is connected to me, because I gave her my name. And so if there's a check to be written, I don't have to be present, because she's just as good as me when it comes to signing. Because we are one. Oh, I wish I had somebody here that understood this. Because we are one. If they come after me or her, they got both of us. Amen? And so we got to understand that because we wear the name, we have become one with him. That's what happened. God, he says, God, that was one of the early church fathers, Athanasius. He said that God became man so that man could become like God. And sometime or another, you got to realize that we are supposed to be holy as he is holy, because we belong to him. Oh, he said, I'm almost done here. He says, if my people, which are called by my name. So that after we've seen that there are pestilent conditions in our life, we have to have a personal connection. But then we have to understand that there's a posture change. Look at this. He says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. There has to be a posture change, because so many times people are proud. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. I'm proud to be Methodist. I'm proud to be Baptist. I'm proud to be a tongue-talking Pentecostal. I'm proud, I'm proud, I'm proud. But at some point, we have to learn how to humble ourselves. He said, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I wish I had somebody. We have to have a posture change, because we're preachers. We can't get in ourselves and say that we are so proud and nobody can't do or say anything to us. Sometimes we're wrong. We got to understand sometimes we're not always right. And I'm not telling you to chastise the preacher, but I'm telling you that we can't get built up in ourselves. Amen. We can't look high and mighty, because Paul tells Timothy, for those boasters, those who are proud, those ones like that, he said, turn away from those people. And so he tells us that we have to have a posture change. I got to change how I walk, how I talk, how I look. I got to come to God humble. Amen. He said, if you come humble, he said, then God will what? Lift you up in due season. We got to understand that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. We got to understand that I don't care what you do. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due season. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, change your posture. Look at this. When you get to the posture of prayer, then God will bless you. Amen. The Bible says that we ought to change our posture. Humble yourself and start praying. And what? Why do we pray? We pray because we communicate with God. But many of us, our prayers are only dialogues. Monologues. Because we tell, amen, we're not having dialogue with God. We have monologue because we tell him all about our troubles. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. We tell him about who did this to us and why this happened, Lord. And I just can't take it no more. But we never sit back and listen to what he has to say, because God is always talking, but you're never listening. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. It's just like the radio station. Even if I got my car off, the radio station is still broadcasting. But what I got to do is lock in my dial so I can hear what they are saying. So you need to lock in the dial in your heart and lock it in on what God is saying so you can hear him in prayer. Jesus said man ought to always pray and not to faint. I wish I had somebody. He also said, he said to us that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so if we have an effectual fervent prayer, the word fervency, it means to boil over. My prayers are not just in the bowl or in the pan. I got to boil over out of the pot. And I got, you know how it is when you turn the fire on under a pot of water, and when you turn it on, the water begins to boil, and then it begins to flow over, and you hear something going That means it's getting into the fire. And see, sometimes your prayer ought to get into the fire. Your prayer ought to get hot. Your prayer ought to be so steaming hot that it begins to make a change. I wish I had somebody here. He said, if you would just pray and seek my face, we got to understand a posture change. I got to change from chasing after people and chasing after money and start chasing after God. I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. I'm chasing after God. I need him. David said in Psalm 27, he said, when you say, seek my face, my heart said, Lord, thy face will I seek. I need some people that'll say that tonight. Lord, I'll seek your face, whatever you want to do. We got to understand here, he said, for us to pray and seek his face. When you seek God, the Bible says, them that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do I get restored? I got to have a personal connection, and I got to have a posture change. I got to get down on my knees. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. There's a church called the Church of the Nativity that's over in Bethlehem. I've been there. In order for you to get in the church, the door is about that tall, so that no man will ever approach the birthplace of Christ and stand upright. In order for you to go in there, you got to get down. And you got to go in humble. And so what I'm trying to tell you here is, if you're going to come before God, you got to get humble yourself. You got to get down, and you can't be lifted up. If there's any lifting up, you need to let God do the lifting. Oh, come on and say amen. The only thing I'm going to lift, I want to lift Jesus. Do I have anybody here that say, I'll lift him up with you, preacher? He said, seek my face. Look at the posture change. He said, turn from my wicked ways. See, sometimes we got to understand, even the people of God get wicked. We got wicked thoughts. We got wicked attitudes. We got wicked dealings that we don't want nobody to know about. Now, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So that means all of us. Ain't nobody exempt from this. It means that everybody that ever been born in the world, David said, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. Anybody here realize today that sometimes we have wicked ways. Sometimes we have preferences that is not godly preferences. Sometimes we have godly shows that we watch and we say that we are Christian and they're not Christian shows. Do I have anybody here? Sometimes we get things to drink and things to smoke. I wish I had somebody. If that ain't you, maybe you got things that you take. Maybe you got things that you do that are wicked to God. I wish I had somebody that realized that we're not all okay. He said, my people, that means that they got some people of God that's doing some wrong things. Sometimes you may think you're all right when you're really not all right. And so when you're not all right, you need somebody to tell you. And I'm here like the doctor does. The doctor tells you, well, look like you're doing okay. But after I looked at your lab work, that means there's something on the inside of you. I found something wrong. You see, you may look okay, and maybe the form of you looks real healthy, like you come to church like nothing's wrong, but down on the inside there's some issues going on. I wish I had somebody that would be honest tonight and say, preacher, you're talking to me. I'm not always correct. I may sometimes say words that I should not have said. I know some of you looking at me and saying, no, I don't say words, but I guarantee the first word to your mind when you stub your toe in the middle of the night, I know it ain't hallelujah. I wish I had somebody that would be honest with me. That sometimes, preacher, I get so frustrated, I think things I shouldn't think. And Jesus said, if you think it, you might as well have done it. I wish I had somebody. Oh, praise his name. He said, we'll turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear? After you have a posture change, then you have a promise in Christ. I wish I had somebody. He said, then will I hear? After I made some changes, after I've sacrificed, after I've done what I'm supposed to, after I've done all I can, I'll stand and wait on God. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do I have anybody here? Say, I'm just waiting. And while you're waiting, you need to be like a waiter waiting on the Lord. May I take your order, please? What will you have me to do? He said, he'll renew your strength. That means he'll take your weak strength and make an exchange. He take your broke bank account and transfer money in your account. And that's what God does to make you strong. He said in his word, then will I hear from heaven. Look at the promise of God. He said, if you change your posture, I'll lift my ear to you. The Bible says that he the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he attends to their call. Anybody here remember the old hymn? He said, I love the Lord. He bowed his ear. He heard my cry. Anybody here realize that God hears you whenever you call on the Lord? He said, the Lord will hear you. I'm here to let you know that God knows what you pray before you yet speak. That's why Jesus said when he was facing Lazarus' death, he said, Father, I'm glad that you already heard me. We didn't hear in the scripture. I didn't read what he prayed, but Jesus was saying, Lord, you already know what's in there. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Preach anyway. Oh, yeah, he said he'll hear you. And guess where he hear you from? He'll hear you from heaven, right where he sits high and looks low. He don't slumber, nor does he sleep. But this God, he's above everything. So he got the best view. He got the best view. He can see everything at the same time. He can see your past. But then he said, I don't want to look at that. So he put the blood of Jesus on it. He sees your present right where you are now. And he sees your future. He knows where you're going. He said, I hear you. But look at what else he says. But not only will he hear us, but he will help us. When he said help, he said, I forgive your sin. There are some things that we need to be thankful for, and forgiveness is one of them, because you couldn't be right all by yourself. Some of y'all just staring at me, but I'm not trying to let you know that you can't be right all by yourself. God had to forgive you. You had to be justified by the blood of Jesus. You had to be justified. Now, somebody asked me, they said, what does justified mean? I said, well, justified mean that you've been made right. That justified mean that God looked at you wrong and said that it's all right. I said, justified mean it's just, God said, it's just if I've done it. So who's going to judge you? Say yeah. Say yes. He said he'll forgive. You see, we've been holding back, hadn't been forgiving folks. Well, I want you to know, if you can't forgive, your sin remain. If you can't let go what somebody said about you 15 years ago because they stepped on your shoe, mess your white pumps up 15 years ago because you're mad they parked in your spot, sat on your pew, right in your seat, didn't give you when you wanted it. If you can't let go, then your sin remain. He said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Do I have anybody that said, I'm going with you, preacher. I'm almost to the close. He said, then when I heal their land. See, he promised you that he'll hear you. Then he promised you that he'll help you. Then he tells you that I'm going to heal you. See, the land that God is healing, I found out that man is made from the dust of the earth. And so God will heal this old dusty land. I wish I had somebody. I got some old aches and pains. The older I get, the more I feel them. The older I get, I realize the breakdown. But God said, I heal the land. I wish I had somebody that realizes that God is not a doctor. I know we always say it, but God don't have to practice no kind of medicine. He sent his word and healed us. Do I have anybody that realize that today? God is not a lawyer. He's the judge that say not guilty. Do I have anybody? Come on and say yes. Say yeah. I wish I had somebody that understood what I'm saying. He said that God will heal their land. God said, I ain't got to come down. He said, I'll hear you from heaven. I'll send my word. My word will heal you. My word will help you. My word will turn you around. Do I have anybody here that realize the word of the Lord will pick you up and turn your life around? Say yes. Say yeah. So how do I get restored? I need to change my posture and realize the promises of God. But after I've done that, what's my duty now, preacher? The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, he said, brethren, he said, if there be one overtaken with fault, he said, ye that are spiritual, God empowers you. After you've been restored, he said, restore one in the spirit of meekness and think about yourself. How do you want somebody to approach you? Do you want them to embarrass you? Or would you like them to pull you to the side? Consider yourself, unless you be tempted of the same thing. See, we've been wrong in the church when people don't want to do what we say. God didn't make you God to try to control people, but he made you human so you can love them and understand people. I wish I had somebody that say I love people too, but when I talk about restoration, I can't help but tell you about how you got to get restored. Sometimes when you look at restoration, my mind goes back to an old vehicle. That's my illustration tonight. When you look at an old car, maybe it's a 70 something or a 64 Chevrolet Impala. When you get ready to restore it, you got to strip it down. Sometimes you have to take parts off and replace the parts. You got to sand it down. All the while, you're flaking some things off. Something you got to wash it down and get all the residue out. What God does for us, he strips us down, washes the residue off. How does he do that? By the washing of the water, by the word of God. He washes us down, and all of a sudden, you take it and say, it's ready now. It pulls into a place where painting goes on. You take out the interior, you cover up what needs to be covered, then you paint it up, and you pretty it up. Now, what's happening now? You're getting anointed, because the word anoint, it means to paint as if a woman paints her face. Now, why does a woman put on makeup? It's so she can cover up flaws and cover up wrinkles. Do I have any women that say, I've been there, preacher. I know what you're talking about. And so what God does, he makes you look good when really underneath you got some wrinkles and you got some blemishes. Do I have anybody? That's when God restores you. He makes sure that nobody else knows what you've been through. He makes sure that nobody else knows what you used to look like. Do I have a witness? So since God does that, you see, when that car was purchased back in 1964, it was only worth $300. But then after it's restored in 2014, that same car that was worth $300 is now worth $30,000. So now what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you're worth more in your restored state than you was when you first got here. Do I have anybody that say, I'm worth more? I'm worth more than I used to be. I may have lost some stuff. I may have been stripped down, but I belong to God, and he fixed me up. He cleaned me up. He filled me with his Holy Ghost. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Anybody know it? I said, do you know it? Won't he walk with you? Won't he talk with you? Won't he tell you that you're his own? Won't he be a bridge over troubled water? Won't he be a rock in a weary land? Can I see some hands here? Won't he be a shelter in the time of storm? It's time to rejoice because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. I'm going to shout about it because his truth endures. It'll go down to my children and to their children. Oh, come on and see. Yes. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. 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 I said, ain't y'all right here? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How to get restored. How to get restored. When we have pestilent conditions, God expects us to have a posture change. Hallelujah. And when we've had a posture change, we can receive the promises of Christ. Hallelujah. Because God is just a giving God. He's a giving God and he's a forgiving God. When you forgive, you give for something. I give you pardon for your sin. He gave Jesus for our sin. Hallelujah. though your sin be as scarlet. You know our sins are scarlet. But God sent Jesus, and his crimson blood that flowed down Calvary's hill. His blood that was shed for us. He did it just for me. He did it just for me. With me on his mind. With me on his mind. You know, the people chanted, "Give us Barabbas." And they said, "Crucify Jesus." Barabbas went away scot-free. And I wondered what happened to Barabbas. But when I look in the mirror, I say, "There he is. There's Barabbas, the crook, the murderer, the thief that should have died on the cross, but a righteous man died for him."